This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To talk all things Knicks, we bring in Stephan Bondy from the New York Daily News, covers the Knicks. Hey, Steph, how are you?
Hey, good. I'm actually with the New York Post now.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You're right. You're with the Post, and I've been reading you in the Post, and my brain just went to Daily News. I apologize.
That's fine. I was there for a long time, too, so I understand.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you. From the New York Post. And you should be reading him in the Post and following him online. All right, so the Knicks win tonight, and OG Anunoby goes off yet again on this offensive rampage we've been seeing, scores 32 points. Jalen Brunson makes his return. And the question has been, how can the Knicks maintain this version, this offensive, aggressive version of OG Anunoby when Jalen Brunson returns? Well, here was the first night, but Stephan, did we see enough of Brunson yet to know if this all can kind of mesh together?
No, not really. I mean, he was very rusty. He looked a step slow. He didn't look very sure of himself with a shot. I think he got it going a lot more in the second half, and certainly down the stretch. That's kind of what Brunson has always been known to do, is take over in clutch time. And he did that. He hit a big three-pointer. He got to the free throw line a lot. But he didn't have the ball as much as we're accustomed to. And that allowed OG Anunoby to kind of take over in ways that he was taking over when Brunson was out. So we still haven't seen Brunson back to the all NBA version of himself, and I do wonder whether that's compatible with OG Anunoby having these kind of outbursts. But listen, I mean, you know, if OG can continue to shoot as efficiently as he has and continue to attack the basket and cut from the corner and do all the things that he was able to do against the Phoenix Suns, the Knicks are in good shape. At least from OG Anunoby's perspective. And Brunson will find his way. I mean, it was the first game back after a month. This was kind of expected. You know, he was going to have to shake off some rust. That's why they brought him back when they did. He still is going to play three more games. They have four games left. I expect him to play in three of them. He'll get to that 65-game threshold where he's eligible to get All-NBA. He's eligible for Clutch Player of the Year. And they hope that, you know, come playoff time, he's back to the version that we saw last season in the playoffs.
What are some of the aspects with OG? You just touched on some of them, but that have made him, you know, this version of him that, you know, since Brunson's been out, he was averaging 23 points a game. That's before tonight where he scores 32. What are some of the aspects of his game that have expanded during that time, and what does that mean for this version of OG with this level of defense and offense? Is when the Knicks gave him a max contract, you know, there was an aspect of, hey, he's a great player, he helped transform the team, but for a 3-and-D, even if it's elite D, is he worth a max contract? This version and what you're seeing, is that is this a, you know, one of the elite players in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, when you combine the defense part, which you know, he made a case for himself as defensive player of the year. He's never going to win it this year. The Knicks weren't as good enough defensively as a team for him to get that award. But he is a candidate for all defense. You know, I think he'll get all defense second team. He deserves all defense second team. And what he's shown lately is an ability to create for himself in ways that we hadn't seen him before, not only with the Knicks, but with the Toronto Raptors before that. I mean, I never thought OG was great on the ball. If you tell him to say, give him the rock and say, all right, go beat that man one-on-one and create something for yourself, I never thought he was that was his strength. But he's shown he's capable lately. So I think that's one aspect that's improved. But I think more so than that, it's the three-point shot that's been falling. And it did early this season. You know, for the first third of the season, I thought OG Anunoby was the MVP of the Knicks. And then he, you know, he went through a dry spell with his shot, and he got injured and kind of fell off. But ever since that injury, and ever since it was a sprained foot, he's come back and he's really hit his stride. And I think, you know, again, he's been kind of this, like, the MVP of this team since Brunson has been out. And, you know, I hate to put him in a specific category of, you know, one of the elite players in the top players in the league, because he's not that. I don't think he'll be able to sustain this throughout an entire season. He's never been an all-star before, but he's playing at an all-star level right now, that's for sure. And if they get this version in the playoffs, that is a big boost for the Knicks. They're going to need it because, you know, whoever they get in the first round, whether it's the Pistons or the Bucks, I think everybody's looking toward that second round matchup. And when the Knicks came into this season and they had two consecutive second round eliminations, and then they trade five first round picks for Mikal Bridges, they trade Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo for Karl Anthony Towns, and they give OG Anunoby that contract that they gave him, the expectation is that they get to the next level. And the next level for the Knicks is the conference finals. And I don't think a lot of people believe, including myself, I don't think they're going to beat the Celtics in a series. But OG Anunoby can go a long way in helping them toward that goal and maybe pull off, you know, the big upset over the Celtics.
Talk to Stephen Bondi from the New York Post about the Knicks. And you mentioned that first round series. Just curious, between, you know, the Knicks are going to end up, you know, within the next, you know, their magic number is 1 to secure that number 3 seed. And then the matchup will either be the Milwaukee Bucks or the Detroit Pistons. Which team do you think the Knicks would be better off facing?
So everybody's been telling me lately that the Knicks should want the Bucks. But I've disagreed, just because to me, well, first of all, we don't know what's going to happen with Dame Lillard. There's been some speculation recently that he's going to be able to come back to the playoffs. That obviously changes the calculus. But for me, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the Eastern Conference. And that is not a player you want to see in the playoffs. He's capable of taking over series. We saw that in the 2021 playoff run when they got the title. The guy was just a monster. I think he's one of a kind in the NBA, just with his physicality and his ability to own the paint. And, you know, he's gotten a lot better distributing as well. So, you know, anytime you get in a playoff series, I always look at who is the best player on the court. There's no question between the Knicks and the Bucks that the best player in that series is Giannis Antetokounmpo. So that would scare me. Now I get it. The Pistons are young. They're certainly physical. That would be a rough and tumble playoff series. And the Knicks have had a lot more success in the regular season against the Bucks compared to the Pistons. But I think facing Giannis Antetokounmpo, that is not something that I'd want to do if I'm the Knicks in a seven-game series.
As we, you know, as we look ahead to the playoffs, so Karl Anthony Towns has at times obviously been terrific this year, scoring, rebounding, and at times, on the other hand, he, you know, whether it was the thumb, and he's looked kind of dinged up. How, you know, right now seems to be the healthiest the Knicks as a team have been all season long as they get towards the playoffs. But how healthy, how is Towns looking to you? I mean, I know he's back, you know, from injuries and, you know, any game he can put up 30 points. He seems to be lumbering a little, I don't know, to my eyes versus, let's say, early in the season.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of OG where he was playing. Well, actually, OG did play well at the very beginning of the season, but Karl Anthony Towns has had better stretches this season than he's having right now. Now, part of it is somebody has, you know, if you got OG scoring 32 points a game, somebody has to take a step back and take fewer shots. And Karl Anthony Towns, to his credit, is kind of deferred to his teammates during this stretch, whether it's Mikal or whether it's OG. But you're right. He has not looked as nimble as he did certainly at the beginning of the season. Remember, he had that meniscus surgery last season to his knee, and that knee has been bothering him throughout this campaign. So you do wonder how much of a factor that is. He's not the most, you know, athletic guy anyway, and I think his body type is such that you're almost waiting like, oh, no, he might get injured at any moment. But he's been able to, you know, be semi-durable this season. He's had, you know, bumps and bruises with the finger and the knee and missed some games. But overall, he's played the most, I think, since the last time he was under Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota. So, you know, the funny thing about the knock on Tom throughout this is the minutes distribution and how he grinds his guys to their to the bone and to their last meniscus, and he plays the starters way too much. Well, a big reason why the starters have all these minutes is because they've all been healthy. And we're now at the point where you're supposed to, you know, kind of gear your bodies and pace the season such that you're healthy now. And right now is when the Knicks are at their healthiest they've been all season. Tonight against Phoenix was the first time, and I'm taking rookie Ariel Hukporti out of the equation. Mm-hmm. He wasn't part of the rotation when anybody's healthy. He's not going to be back this season because he had knee surgery. You take him out of the equation, the Knicks were fully healthy tonight against the Phoenix Suns. I think they had only done that once before, you know, because Mitch had just come back in March and then Jalen Brunson got out. But now they were both healthy. They both played today. And this is the time you want that. And so they have these final remaining games before the playoffs start to find a rhythm with Jalen, find a rhythm with Mitch, and they have the health equation right now. So barring some injury, you know, towards the end of this season, they're in pretty good shape as far as that's concerned.
You mentioned Mitchell Robinson, and there have been some games where, to my eyes, he's looked, you know, closer to the Mitchell Robinson I remember, you know, go back to last season. And then there are plenty of games where he just looks rusty, sluggish, not like that. So what does, you know, when you talk about having the lineup integrate Mitchell Robinson and look comfortable with Mitchell Robinson, what would that look like? What do the Knicks need that to be for the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it depends on the opponent. If you got Brooke Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo out there, you might want to go with the Cat Mitchell Robinson lineup. Maybe that's the way to go to force Giannis to make some adjustments and play close to the rim sometimes. So I think it depends on the opponent. Here's what I'll say. The Knicks are going to go with an 8-man rotation in the playoffs. You have the starting five. We know who they are. You have Mitch coming off the bench. You have Miles McBride coming off the bench. And then it's kind of like the final spot is going to be up for grabs. We're talking about Landry Shamet. We're talking about Precious Achiuwa is in that mix. We're talking about Campaign is in that mix. Maybe DeLon Wright is in that mix. But Tom Thibodeau is not going to stretch his bench out in the playoffs. He's going to go 7-man or 8-man. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of the combinations down the stretch of the season and where he goes. And what works may go a long way into what we see in that first round against either the Bucks or the Pistons.
Yeah, it'll be Mitchell Robinson and Deuce McBride we expect to play, but between Campaign, Landry, Shamet, and DeLon Wright, is it possible that it could vary, you know, game to game or series to series depending on the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could. You know, I think we saw that last year with the 76ers and then the Pacers. There was a lot of injuries, obviously, the Knicks were dealing with last season. If everybody is healthy, I think Tom would prefer to have his rotation consistent just to establish mm-hmm. a rhythm and everything like that. But, yeah, I mean, if they start getting into matchup problems with one opponent over, you know, that was different from another one, I think Tom would adjust and, you know, change the rotation a little bit. But listen, the starters are going to be playing close to 40 minutes a game in the playoffs. It's not just the Thibodeau thing in the playoffs. Every team does that.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fair. And right, I think in the playoffs, the minutes police, you know, and I'll consider myself in them at times. Don't come out come playoff time. Mentioning Thibodeau, so the Knicks get their 50th win, and Tom Thibodeau passed Pat Riley for all-time wins by Knick coaches. What, you know, put into context for us where, you know, Tom Thibodeau's legacy already is as a Knicks head coach.
Yeah, I think you have to go back to when he took over and where this franchise was. I mean, it was about as low as you can get. They had fired David Fizdale fairly recently, you know, before he took over. And I remember that press conference where James Dolan told Steve Mills and Scott Perry, you got to go out there and talk to the reporters.
I remember
and
that
explain
too.
This. And it was one of the most awkward press conferences I've been a part of because this was post game. And, you know, you're waiting for the coach to show up and instead the two executives show up and they really didn't know what to say because they were just told by the owner, you better go say something. So, you know, that had happened recently. I think, you know, there was the sell the team chants that were happening. You know, Dolan had just gotten into it with Spike Lee about something, and then COVID hit. And then Leon Rose takes over, and Tom Thibodeau becomes that big hire. And almost immediately, the direction and the culture of this franchise changed. So, you know, that's, I think, is his legacy, is turning this around. I think the problem that a lot of fans have, and, you know, some of it is fair, he has to show what he can do in the playoffs, because historically, Tom Thibodeau has been great in the regular season when we're talking about shit with Chicago, you know, where he was the head coach for 5 years, but then he only advanced to one conference final in his head coaching career. And that was a long time ago. That was with the Derrick Rose Bulls. So, you know, he has to show that, I think. And I think the concern that a lot of fans have is he's gotten to the Knicks to this point. Can he take them to the next level that they need to go? Because I think they've reached the point with the roster and as much money as they're spending on this team and as many draft assets as they put into building this roster that the expectation is conference finals, as we said before. So is Tom Thibodeau the right coach to get them there? You know, I don't think it's fair right now to expect this roster to beat the Boston Celtics in the second round, if that is the second round matchup. But, you know, if there's a first round flameout and they lose to the Bucks or they lose to the Pistons, I think then there's going to be some hard conversations about Tom Thibodeau.
If the Knicks lose in the first round, or even if they do win in the first round, get to the second, but then, as you and I would expect, lose to the Celtics, they played a team tonight in the Phoenix Suns, and Kevin Durant did not play, has been injured. Devin Booker did play, seemed frustrated at times, although he scored 40 points. Rumors of those players wanting trades, potentially, and of course, the Knicks will be interested in, as you said, they traded away the five firsts for Mikal Bridges. But How likely or possible is it that one of those players could end up on the Knicks next season?
So I don't think they have a chance at Devin Booker simply because they don't have the assets. If the Phoenix Suns were to trade Devin Booker, they're going to want pieces to help them start the rebuild. They're just going to start over because they will have probably traded Kevin Durant already too. The Knicks, this is where, to me, the mistake of the offseason, and I'm saying this in retrospect because at the time, I was like, oh, this is an upgrade to get Mikal Bridges. But to me, the big mistake was trading 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. If they could have somehow kept Dante DiVincenzo, maybe attach another first-round pick to get Karl-Anthony Towns with, you know, Julius Randle in that trade, but you keep Dante DiVincenzo out of that trade, and you don't trade for Mikal Bridges, I think having all those extra first-round picks and Dante DiVincenzo in there instead of Mikal Bridges, this team, the franchise, is in a better position. I'm saying that in retrospect again because at the time I thought that Mikal Bridges was going to be a much bigger upgrade. I think they're missing something without DiVincenzo out there. I think Mikal Bridges is fine. He's certainly an Iron Man. He's out there all the time, and he's been playing well recently. But I don't think if you were to look back and do it all over again, I don't think he's worth 5 first-round picks. And
there's an edge that's missing that Devo sure. had. And to me, when they played the Warriors and Draymond Green was kind of getting in Kat's face and all that stuff going on, I thought, where is Dante DiVincenzo to, go stir it up and get a technical foul?
Well, he was. You know where he was. He was in Minnesota doing that with Detroit.
Right.
He just got into that fight with Isaiah Stewart. So,
right.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, you're right. They're missing that edge that we saw from that team last year. That identity, and it wasn't just DiVincenzo. It was also Isaiah Hartenstein. He was part of that.
Yep.
And Julius Randle could mix it up too. So yeah, they are missing that element. But I think Kevin Durant is a more realistic target simply because he's not going to cost as much. There's going to be, I was talking to somebody today at the arena that, knows what's going on. And he says, there's going to be plenty of teams lining up to get Kevin Durant. And it's really about which team feels that they're Kevin Durant away from being a championship contender. Because if you're getting a 36, soon to be 37 year old Kevin Durant, who's had all these injuries and this Achilles tear, and he recovered from that, you have a 1-year, 2-year window of winning a title. That is what you're acquiring with Kevin Durant. So you have to think you're that close. And I think a lot of that will depend on what happens in the playoffs coming up.
Well, we shall see. The New York Knicks, the season winding down. The Knicks as healthy as they've been. Time to integrate some of these pieces before we head into the playoffs. Stephen Bondi from the New York Post covers the Knicks. You can follow him at the Post. You can follow him on social. Steph, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Thank you.